Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Matana, Halacha Hei. We're up to the appendixes at the end. It's on page 44, the left-hand column, top of the column. The topic that Rav Nosson Zal is referring to here is still, we had discussed the topic of Tzedakah and Mishpat, as was related to a certain chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Chof Beis, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, where there Rav Nosson Zal speaks a lot about Naseh V'Nishma, and all of those topics. Then Rav Nosson Zal, for these last pages, switched to a different chapter in Likutei Moran, Torah Hei, in Likutei Moran Tanina, where there also, that's one of the main places where Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this inyan of Mishpat. And Rav Nosson Zal is connecting both of those chapters in Likutei Moran to give us important information related to this topic of Tikkun HaMishpat, making a tikkun for this concept of judgment and fairness and justice, Bichlal. And these pieces are related to pieces that we had before. This paragraph begins with the words Shayach Lois Yudalid. If you look back at paragraph Yudalid of this halacha, page 24, 23, you'll see that what he's going to say here is an extension of what he was talking about over there. V'alkein achar shvi shel Pesach hutra chometz. It's for this reason that it's only after the seventh day of Pesach that chometz becomes permissible. Ki oz b'kriyas yamsuf hischil b'chinas tikkun hamishpat. Because it was then, at kriyas yamsuf, that the tikkun hamishpat really began. Because we shezochu lozeh al yidei shekofatz nachshoin letoich hayam. The Yidden was zeichet to that tikkun hamishpat by the fact that one Jew showed extraordinary azis digdusha, nachshoin ben aminotov, who jumped into the water even before it split. He didn't wait for the Red Sea to split. Shezehu b'chinas tmimus. This implies exceptional sincerity. Shetzrichen lehizgalgel berefesh votit b'shvil retzoinu yizborach. Rabbeinu Zal, in this Torah Likutei Moran, Torah Hei Likutei Moran Tanina, discusses this was said on a Rosh Hashanah. That year, Rosh Hashanah, when Rabbeinu Zal was walking to Tashlich, he tripped. And he got himself all muddy. He actually fell in mud. Must have been wet there. And he got his clothes all dirty and everything. And later on that day, when he gave a shiur, one of the things that was included in the shiur was saying that a Jew has to be prepared to dirty himself in the mud in order to give Hashem a nachas, in order to please Hashem, to do a mitzvah. You have to be prepared to go even that far, to dirty your hands and your clothes. Vaydezeh zoichen letikkun hamishpat. And if a person is willing to go that far, that's how they're zeichet to this tikkun hamishpat. V'alkein oz nitzchu hamishpat. Therefore, when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, where the Jews dirtied themselves, Nachshon jumped into the water with his clothes. He didn't wait for it to be dry. He jumped in with it wet. That's when they were menatzeach the mishpat. V'zochu ha'idezeh she'ikra yam lefneim, and they were zeichet that the sea split before them. To bring up the Mishpat against the Egyptians from the Tohoim, from the super depths which the Mishpat had sunk into. We had learned earlier related to Hanukkah that there are psukim that say Mishpotecho Tohoim Rabba, that there are sometimes when the Mishpat sinks all the way down, 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 where the justice becomes totally invisible, and then it's brought up from the depths and it's Nizgal, it's revealed to all. The main thing that's able to cause this revelation for the Mishpat is Emuna. Kemoisham Razal, as the Gemara says, Al Posuk Vayisu, where it says that the Jews traveled. They didn't wait for the Red Sea to split, they started moving towards the ocean even before it split. The Gemara says that Hashem's response to this was, Kedai Heim Voho Emuna Sheheminu Bi, the Jews and the faith and confidence they had in me makes them worthy of me performing miracles for them. Ki ikr tikkun hamishpat wal yedei shema'aminim shetzadik Hashem v'yosher mishpatov. Because the main tikkun hamishpat is when a Jew rises to a level where he trusts Hashem 100% and he's confident that Hashem's ways are righteous, Hashem knows exactly what he's doing with me. I don't have to worry that I'm being treated unfairly in any way, chas v'shalom, by Hashem. Va'oz ayidei zeh bi'atzmoi yizkeh b'mishpat. And by a person having that kind of emuna in Hashem, that will help him be successful in his mishpat. Kize ikar hani soyin loy, because this is the main test for the person. While a person is going through a difficult time, to see if he's going to chas v'shalom judge Hashem in any improper way. Bibichinas, as the pasuk says over there, shom somloi choiku mishpat v'shom nisohu, that it was in that place that Hashem presented the Jews with a test, and that's where the mishpat was established. These two go together. The tikkun mishpat, that's the main test for the person. Shenemar achar kriyas yamsuf. This pasuk is written right after the Jews went through kriyas yamsuf. When a Jew is zeichet to understand that Hashem's justice is proper, nimtzo shezeichet lebechinas tikkun mishpat. That person is zeichet to tikkun mishpat. Vaydezeh nistakein hakoil, and then everything has its tikkun. Vegam oz yuchal lehispalel ulhischanin lefonav yisborach, and that's also what unlocks a person's mouth and gives them the ability to daven to Hashem and to speak to Hashem. Me'achar sheyodea be'emes sheyosha mishpotov. Once a person has come to this realization that Hashem is 100% beseder with me, then it's possible for me to ask Hashem for things, etc. Whereas if the person has complaints against Hashem, chas v'shalom, or hidden negative feelings towards Hashem, then the person finds that when it comes to talking to Hashem, they can't get it out. Vaoz zoichen leshiro, and then the person is zoichet to sing. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, vayoshiru bedarkei Hashem. They sang with the paths of Hashem. Bedarkei Hashem daiko, bechinas chesed umishpot oshiro. There's a pasuk that says that with kindness and justice I sing forth. When a person is zeichet to trust Hashem's judgment and Hashem's usage of chesed and mishpat properly, that person is zeichet to be able to sing to Hashem. Askila bederech tomim, the pasuk says, I'm zeichet to become wise with my sincere path. Ki hasoga samishpat hu kemoi yam. Rav Nosson Zal says now, the ability to really understand Hashem's concept of justice is compared to the ocean. She'yev shelichnois boy, where for most people it's impossible to go riding in the ocean. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, mishpotecho tohim rabo. Hashem's justice is like the super, super depths of the ocean. How many people are qualified to go deep sea diving? Aval al yedei emuna utmima sanal. However, if a Jew is zeichet to develop a trust in Hashem and to be super sincere with Hashem, nase nesiv lavor hayam b'sholim, the person carves out a path for themselves to be able to cross the ocean in safety without being harmed at all. Bibechinas, as the pasuk says, hanoisein bayam derech ubemayim azim nesiva. That Hashem does this sometimes. Hashem makes a path, carves a path through the ocean and through turbulent waters, tough waters, mayim azim nesiva. Hashem makes a little path through there. Bechinas nesivois hamishpot. There is this term used in the Torah, the paths of justice. So we see that it's something delicate and dangerous, but if a yid is zeichet to develop emuna and tmimus, that person will be zeichet to go through this path of mishpat properly. V'chol u'b'chol ze tzrichen ledaber u'levayer harbe l'maiso li'etza. Rav Nosson Zal says, regarding what I'm talking about here, there's a lot to say and there's a lot of advice that people need to know how to apply this in their own lives, you know, l'maisa, on a day-to-day basis. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, this is why the Gemara says that when a maidservant was going through Kriyas Yamsuf, she was able to see Hashem more clearly than the Novi Yecheskel, the great Tzaddik Yecheskel. Kihu ro'o kesher hamarkovo gam begolus. Yecheskel Anovi was a chiddush in that he was zeichet to see the throne of Hashem even when he was outside of Eretz Yisrael. He was in Golus. The Jews were in Golus at the time, and he was zeichet to see the throne of Hashem. To see the throne means to understand the mishpat of Hashem, to understand it properly. And he was able to draw the conclusion that all hope is not lost for the Jewish people. Despite the fact that we're in Golos, there's still hope. Whereas when the Jews were crossing the Red Sea, this Tikkun HaMishpat was on a higher level than what it was when Yechezkel HaNavi saw this vision of Ma'aseh Merkava. Next, now Rav Nosson Zal says, Shayach lo'is yudalad yudches yutes, ki ikar habechira kedei shelo yoichal nahamode kisufa. The main reason why Hashem invented the concept of free choice and he gave us the ability to do good or bad was so that Jews should not be eating bread of shame. We shouldn't be in Gan Eden just being fed for free by Hashem, but rather we should be given the feeling as if we earned it. We went through a battle and we earned it. But rather, the person is supported in Olam Haba through the profit that he made through justice. He won it fair and square in his battle with the Yetzer Hara.
How does this react with the concept that nothing, we really earn nothing ourselves, everything is just a gift from Hashem?
You'll see in a minute. V'al kein yesh koyach godol mo'oid mo'oid la'bchira. Therefore, this bechira is an incredible, incredible power. Ki b'shvil zeh nivro v'nishtal shel hakoil. This is literally the ultimate purpose for which everything was created. Meresh kol dargin at soif kol dargin. From the highest madrega, the highest worlds, to the lowest worlds. Hakoil b'shvil ha-bechira, shu b'chinas mishpat. All of it was created for the sake of bechira, which means justice, fairness. That there should be a certain element of fairness in the reward giving, you know, of Olam Haba. This is why the Gemara says it was extremely difficult for Hashem to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim and to split the Red Sea for them. And Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu 10 times, 11, 12 times to Paroi to get Paroi to be willing to send the Jews out. And in order to get Paroi to agree, Hashem made all kinds of unbelievable miracles. Rav Nosson Zal asks, Hashem could have blown Paroi and Mitzrayim away in one zetz. Why play games? Why clown around with plagues and baloney? One little hydrogen bomb on Mitzrayim would have been just perfect. And again, a selective hydrogen bomb. Just like the Makas of Dam and the other stuff was selective, Hashem could have just dropped a bomb that would only blow away the Egyptians and not the Yidden in one zetz. Kimuva b'medrash inyan zeh, as the medrash mentions this item. Yochel hoya kodesh baruch hu lishloach borok echad leMitzrayim. Hashem could have sent one lightning bolt to Mitzrayim that would have finished the job. Ach hakoil hoya machmas b'chinas mishpatanal. However, there was this aspect of justice involved. B'chinas koyach habechira, this concept of free choice. The Egyptians hadn't had their full fill based on the laws of justice. And the Yidden hadn't received their full measure of suffering and punishment, al pi mishpot. That's why Hashem couldn't take the Yidden out against Paroi's will. But rather, Hashem wanted to design a situation where Paroi would willingly let the Jews go. It had to be Barotzoin. This is part of that concept of free choice. Ki be'emes, the truth is, afalpi she'alpi mishpot hoyomagia she'yi Yisrael mishubod emadayim. Despite the fact that if you really want to talk fairness and justice, the Jews were supposed to stay in Mitzrayim another 190 years. They left early.
Also took away Pharaoh's Bechira at a certain point.
Aval Paroi uMitzrayim bevadai osu imohem shaloi kemishpat. But on the other hand, Paroi and Mitzrayim didn't give the Jews exactly the amount of suffering they were supposed to get. They gave them maybe 10 times that amount. Porech, you know, super hard labor and everything, where in those 210 years they were there, they got credit for 400 years worth of slavery. Rav Nosson Zal writes, "V'inyan zeh hu neflois tomim deim." This topic is awesome. It is wondrous. This is deep, super deep. She'efsher le'enoishi lohavinam b'shum oifen. It's impossible for a human being to fully understand and be able to rationalize exactly how Hashem handles each situation. The situation of the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim, kemuva mevucha zois bein hamachakrim, as this paradox is brought in the philosophy, in the Sforum of philosophy, this issue of having such tremendous difficulty in being able to make sense and rationalize all of these things. Rav Nosson Zal gives an example now. Ki horoitzeach v'hagazlon shehoireg oigoiz lesechon, because in a situation where a murder is committed or a robbery is committed, and Shimon is robbed or killed, bevadai magia lazeh hanerag vanigzoil sheyihoreg b'mishpoti yisporach. We know for sure that Shimon deserved to die. Otherwise, Hashem wouldn't have allowed him to be killed. So, fact number one is that this person, the person that was murdered or robbed, had to be robbed at that point. V'afal pikein horoitzeach horoitzeach, and still the murderer is considered a criminal. V'horgoi shaloi b'mishpat, and he killed this other guy without any justification. V'yikabel onsho yakoshe, and he will get his full measure of punishment. So go figure it out. What do you mean? On one hand, you tell me he deserved to die, so the guy should be given a gift. He fulfilled a shlichus for Hashem. But yet he did it without justification. He didn't do it based on reason. He did it for his own pleasure, you know, to steal or whatever. U'bishvil inyin zeh koshe mo'oid levara mishpot. And for this reason, it's very difficult for us to clarify Hashem's justice. V'chol zeh noigeya le'inyin tzadik v'toiv lo'i tzadik v'ra lo'i rosha v'toiv lo'i rosha v'ra lo'i. All of this is related to one of the most perplexing questions in the Gemara. The question of how it is that we see some tzaddikim have it good, and some tzaddikim have it bad. And some rishoyim have it good, and some rishoyim have it bad. Why? She'efsher lohovin hanhogas mishpotoi b'seichel anoishi b'shum oifen. It's impossible for us with our brains to understand everything Hashem does in this way. Rak be'emuna u'betmimus, kamuvon. It's only through faith and simple sincerity that we can accept Hashem's justice. Kemuvon shom besoif mimayla satmimus. As Rabbein Azal brings at the end of that chapter on Likutei Moran, how great and important is this quality of tmimus. V'alkein hoyo'oz ha'hechrich she'yishlochem paroi me'atzmoi. This is why it had to be that Paroi himself should come to the decision to send the Jews out. Since the full justice had not yet been served, therefore Hashem couldn't on his own take them out, but rather it had to be that Paroi sent them out. This is the reason why we eat matzah on Pesach. Bechinas Michael Hamalochim. Matzah is considered angel food. Bechinas Mon. It's compared to the Mon. Hainu Bechinas Mezoina Deleilo Shel Hamalochim Shoichlem Sheloi Bemishpot. This symbolizes the meals that the Malochim are given, which they're given without fairness, or not because they earned it or anything. The sustenance that angels are given is not based on Mishpot, but it's above the concept of Mishpot. V'zehu neflois rachmav yisborach. This is the wondrous kindness of Hashem. She'tzivolon was lechol matzah, and that Hashem instructed us to eat matzah. Kedei liyois nizoin bepesach b'mimozoin deleila. So that on Pesach, the Jews are not being nourished through fairness and justice, but rather they're receiving heavenly food in a sense. She'mekablim afal pi she'ena magi al pi mishpot, where the person receives it despite the fact that they don't fully deserve it through mishpat. Kemoi hamalochim shenizayna b'chinam, just like the angels are fed for free in a sense. Because again, at the time of Pesach, when we first came out of Mitzrayim, we hadn't yet really earned any meal yet. That was when we were first starting out as a nation. V'alkein nikro lechem oini. This is one of the reasons why the matzah that we eat on Pesach is called lechem oini, poor man's bread. De lesle migarmo klum. implying that we have nothing of our own. At this point, we are deserving of zero. Ki oz yotzu bebechinas isarusa deleila kiyadua. Because on Pesach, the Jews went out of Mitzrayim not based on their own good deeds. It was isarusa deleila. It was Hashem's rachmonis, in a sense. Hashem took them out despite that they didn't really deserve it. Ki yadua, as is known. Zehu bechinas betchilo ola b'machshov olivro ilo b'min esadim. And this is tied into what the Gemara says, that in the beginning, Hashem's intent was to create the world with justice. Dehainu rak b'mishpotu b'din. Only with justice and din. Shebishvil zeh nivra koel. That's why Hashem made everything. For bechira. Bechira means justice. However, when Hashem saw that if he does it that way, the world won't have any kiyum, because Adam Rishon committed a sin, wipe out, the whole world gets destroyed again. Therefore, hikdem midas harachmim. Therefore, kavyochel, Hashem decided to change things and put the rachmonis first. That's why it says later on in the pasuk, b'yoyim broi Hashem aleikim eretz v'shamoyim. Dahainu sheboeis she'ein zoichin b'mishpot. This Hashem did it in this way so that when a Jew is on a level where through fairness and justice the person does not deserve to be helped, yiskayim ho'ilom barachmim, Hashem has this second option of sustaining the world with His kindness. Bebechinas chesed chinam, this concept of a free kindness. V'yunizoinim k'moy hamaluchim bechinam. And at that point in time, the Jews are supported just like the angels are supported, for free, without doing any mitzvahs. Shezeu bechinas matzo. This is the concept of matzo. The connection to malochim eating mon, the Gemara says that one of the seven heavens is called shchokim. Sheshom shochakim hamalochim mon. That's where the angels grind up mon for their own meals, I believe it says over there. So we see that mon is called angel food in a sense. The matzah that the Yidden ate when they came out of Mitzrayim, the pasuk says in Chumash, the Gemara says that they ate ugois matzois. The Gemara says on the word ugois, ugo shehoitzium Yisrael mi Mitzrayim toamu bo tam mon. That the matzahs that the Jews took out of Mitzrayim had a taste of mon to them. So we see that it symbolizes this concept of this angel food, this freebie kind of food.
On one hand, we're saying because of the torment, right? And being such a low madrega, this is kind of what our just desserts are. And on the other hand, it's such a high thing. It's almost the chesed of chesed, and it's almost like the highest thing.
Correct, because bedafka, when a person is far down, the only thing that can help him is something very high up. Rabbi Nizal said, people say that if a person is not so religious, so any rabbi that he gets is good enough for him, because any rabbi knows more than him. And Rabbi Nizal said, I say just the opposite. Just like when a person is ill, if a person has a regular illness, so they go to a regular doctor. When a person is very ill, they need a specialist. They have to go to the top. So to Baruchnius, the lower a level a person is on, the greater a tzaddik he needs to make his tikkun, to deal with him.
This is the level of chesed that we're learning called the tzitzis, of the chesed of chesed.
Yes. That chesed chinon, that is sarus avoyla.
That is when we get through Shemai, we're going to see everything in Emes, when we really see that everything really was Hashem helping us every step of the way. So how is that kind of fantasy feeling for the...
One of the answers that's given is that itself is the Bechira. The Bechira is whether the person, to what extent the person sought out Hashem's help or didn't seek it out. Every single thing that every human being does in this world, whether it be a mitzvah or avera, they only do it with Hashem's help. So on one hand, ridiculous. If you're going to come up to heaven, you're going to say, I'm owed Gan Eden because I did all of these mitzvahs. And they're going to laugh at you and say, you did nothing. Hashem did everything. So what are you expecting? The answer is, but I had the choice to seek out Hashem's help or to ignore Hashem's help. And the fact that I said, Ono Hashem Hoishion, Ono Hashem Atzlichono, or, you know, all the different things that a person says in tefillah, that's where the Iker Bechir, that's where the main personal credit comes in seeking Hashem's help. Versus a cow who doesn't ask Hashem Bedafka for grass in the morning, and yet Hashem provides it. One variation of this, There's a pasuk betach b'Hashem v'asei toiv. Trust in Hashem and do good. Rav Nosson Zal says that's a contradiction. If I trust in Hashem, then I don't need to do anything. Trust in Hashem, Hashem can handle everything. If he's telling me to do, then if I'm going to do, then where's Hashem's part? Rav Nosson Zal explains that the way it works is, let's say he gives the example of parnasa. When it comes to parnasa, the most important issue is the eitzah. You can have a person who's going to put in 8 hours a day work trying to sell glasses, and you get another person who's going to put in 8 hours a day selling diamonds, another person's going to put in 8 hours a day selling sprouts, and the sprouts guy is going to walk out with a $50 profit, and the guy selling diamonds will have gotten zero customers that day. The person would say, where's the sechel? This is so much. The answer is you have to know in each place, at each time, which thing is going to sell better or worse, etc. That comes from Hashem. The Eitzah comes from... You could be the biggest genius and you could lose your shirt in business. The example that I like to give is there's this very wealthy family that invested in a lot of real estate in New York for a certain period of time, and they were rolling, flying, high. And then suddenly at one point, all the way down and lost everything. Now the question is, what happened? Did they take to the bottle? Did they suddenly lose their brains? And those, when they were investing and making good investments and being successful, naturally it was their brains. It was their intelligence and their planning. And then suddenly one night they started losing brains, and that's ridiculous. The answer is they're making money and losing money wasn't based on their brains. It was based on Hashem. That was Hashem at that point in time said real estate goes, and you could have had the dumbest dummy who couldn't even sign his own name who would invest in a piece of real estate and buy it for $10,000 and sell it for $1,000,000. You know, didn't they? When the time comes when Hashem shifts gears and Hashem says, now it's not real estate, now it's bean sprouts, then you could be investing in all kinds of real estate and it won't do you nothing. And you invest in the bean sprouts and you make money, period. Elamai, the point is that even when Hashem does give the Eitzah, that's not good enough. Hashem expects some ishtadlus. Hashem wants you to put certain effort in. Because if our emunah were at the highest peak of perfection, then it's possible that we wouldn't even have to do any ishtadlus. But the fact that we are the way we are, Hashem can't show obvious miracles where he'll just shoot $1,000 bills at you. So therefore, there's got to be ishtadlus so that Hashem is able to cloak, to hide his act of giving you shefa in a teva. He hides it as if you're getting it from your job, as if you're getting it this way, as if you... But really, it's coming direct from Hashem. That kind of thing. That's another example of to what extent there is bechira, to what extent there isn't. But it's still a delicate issue. You can still challenge this also.
Well, it can't be clear. Because if it was clear, then you wouldn't have bechira.
Correct.